Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher, my guest this hour, OSU President Gordon Gee. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy Columbus Day.
Thank you.
What are we doing work at? This is a holiday or something like that.
My dog walker friend said this morning, do you have to go in? Yes, I do. I do. Which makes me wonder, schools in session today,
it
right?
It is, right. Yes, absolutely. We don't take all holidays, as a matter of fact, although I probably receive some criticism from some element of our vast constituency about that.
As you once said to me, my world.
Right.
But are they in session at the Worcester campus?
Well, you know, our Worcester campus has started again.
Okay.
We've done a remarkable thing there in the sense, and for our listening audience, Worcester was our campus of Worcester was absolutely decimated by a tornado. It came down at the beginning of our campus and lifted up at the end of our campus. In the meantime, it destroyed a number of buildings, and most importantly, from my point of view, it destroyed a lot of the hard work. This is 100 years worth of work in many ways of our arboretum up there, which is one of the beautiful spots on the face of the earth.
Right.
But we've got great people. We've got a great leadership in Bobby Mosier, our vice president, dean, and people just pulled together, and the campus is up and running again.
So what did they do? Did they just condense school classrooms?
Well, Worcester is a research campus.
Right.
ATI, which is our technical institute, was not interfered with. Happened to be, it kind of went across the middle of the campus and missed our ATI buildings. But our research facilities, which, let me just remind you that OARDC, the Ohio Agricultural Research Development Center, is one of the largest research centers of its kind, focusing on agriculture in the world. And so we have a lot of wonderful things going on up there, and it was a very difficult time for many of our research scientists.
Other changes, new chief fundraiser, Andrew Sorensen.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, we went for the long ball. Dr. Sorensen is a remarkable human being. One of this nation's most important epidemiologists was the dean of public health at the University of Massachusetts, was the head of the major AIDS project in this country, Johns Hopkins, then became the provost at Florida, then the president of the University of Alabama, the president of the University of South Carolina. Think about that. His two teams were playing each other this weekend. I thought about that. He's really one of the most distinguished academics in this country, and he went into retirement. I said, no way. And so we need to have someone, as we're raising and need to raise massive amounts of money, we need to have someone who really had the heft and ability to be able to do that. And so I was able to attract Dr. Sorensen. I was laughing with him because between the two of us, we've been university presidents for about 50 years, and we decided that between the two of us, almost everyone we know in higher education has worked for us.
Well, how do you recruit? How do you know who's going to make a good fundraiser, particularly when you're in the middle of a campaign like this?
Well, it's beyond fundraising because of the fact that what we've done is we have worked over the last really 2 years. This is part of the wider issue we have of creating one university rather than being this collection of colleges, this cacophony of voices, as you and I have talked about before. And so one of the things we move toward is something that the private institutions do very well, is something that they call advancement, which is really making certain that communications and alumni relations and development are all working cheek to jowl, that they're very closely aligned. And frankly, we have not been that way. Our wonderful alumni association, headed by Archie Griffin, has been fiercely independent for 137 years. They have not been at all a part of the university's mission or vision. They have been supportive, but certainly not there. And the same, we have these large elements of independence, and so we're trying to pull those together. We need to have someone who would make that happen. He indeed is the senior vice president for development, but he's also special assistant to the president for advancement. He's going to drive that whole advancement model toward our unification in terms of what we're trying to accomplish.
So how is the unification going? There's a culture change.
Let me tell you something. I talk about this all the time. We're really focused on two issues. Ultimately, it's about talent, the most talented faculty, teaching the most talented students, and having the most talented staff to support everything. And it's also about culture. I mean, we can have the most talented people, but if we have a bedraggled culture, if we're an elephant, as I describe it, rather than being a ballerina, if we're not energetic, if we're not forward-thinking, if we don't make certain that we're non-bureaucratic, then we have not accomplished much. And so changing that culture is not easy because our university's history does not go back for 150 years. It goes back to Bologna. It goes back to the great medieval universities. It goes back to Oxford and Cambridge. And so changing these cultures takes time. But I'm driven by it, and I think that our senior leadership is working very hard, as is our faculty leadership. We all work very hard to move ourselves into sort of the leadership role in terms of the new American university.
614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. My guest is OSU President Gordon Gee. If you'd like to join the conversation, hop on that phone line and give us a call. You know, when you talk about how far back the mission goes, it makes me wonder about a lot of the criticisms of the liberal arts education these days, that you really don't need it to get ahead anymore.
Oh, how?
It's really not necessary. You can just go do computer science courses. You don't need to take humanities and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, isn't that dumb?
And I'm sure that you disagree.
I hate to say that, reuse that word dumb, but it is that's dumb. Because the fact that an educated citizenry is the foundation of the democracy in this country. It's not. I mean, the Soviets tried the kind of Soviet model, which was to have people just learn computer science or engineering or something else. And certainly the Chinese have tried that and a variety of other things. In fact, when I've met with Chinese officials, now they're trying to move much more toward the American model of having an integrated educational activity. And by the way, I point out this, that education now has proven to be the most valuable of investments. In this day of serious unemployment in Ohio, an Ohio State degree, someone with an Ohio State degree has, there are fewer than 5 or 4% of those people unemployed. It's three times as much for those who do not have a college degree. So think about that. And the liberal arts are absolutely essential to any good educational experience. And so we are very driven to make certain that it remains at our core. That's one of the reasons, by the way, we're consolidating our College of Arts and Sciences to make it a more powerful central core element of the university.
If you would like to join the conversation, you can also Twitter us at Ann Fisher WOSU, or go to the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page. One of my Facebook friends is Dr. Gee.
Oh, how fun.
So. You didn't know that, did you?
No, I did not, but that gives me great pleasure, I can assure you.
You know, part of the culture at any big campus, any big university now is how it treats its LGBT mm-hmm. population. OSU gets a 5-star rating mm-hmm. from Campus Pride. It's a nonprofit organization that advocates for safer, more hospitable campuses mm-hmm. for lesbian, gay, and transgender students and bisexual as well. Ohio State was one of 19 to receive their highest rating. How does that play into the paradigm?
I think it plays into the larger structural changes we're trying to make the institution. Let me say, we were not always that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I was here the first time, we had some real challenges, as many of you can remember, that we tried to gain recognition for domestic partners in our health plans, et cetera. And I joke about that. That was one of the very few times that I nearly lost my job because there was a lot of backlash. But the university's come a long way, as the general population. And certainly this university is a leader in terms of its diversity and inclusiveness. In fact, we really do believe that those two issues are really the essence of what we're trying to accomplish right now. And our gay and lesbian and transgender communities are very much a part of this institution, very active. We have a very active community, very well recognized for the great work that they do, and very supportive of the university in general. So I take a lot of pride that we are recognized in that vein. We should be, by the way. By the way, I think that Columbus is a city that really does have a very inclusive nature to it. A lot of people think of the Midwest as being rather square. Columbus is anything but square.
Some universities are thinking about co-ed dorms, mm-hmm. and there was a story, I think Encarnita Pyle had one in the Columbus Dispatch today about that, and one of the reasons for them are for gay students who feel more comfortable with someone of the other gender, you know. But beyond that, are co-ed dorms something that could
I'll be very honest with you. This is not a lateral arabesque or a punt. I just haven't had a chance to take a look and see what our housing plans. You know, we've been very focused on the renovation of our housing.
Exactly.
We have the high quality housing, and certainly we have residence halls in which both men and women live. I'm not quite certain if I understand the configuration of the co-ed residence halls. But if someone else is doing it, I'm certain someone will bring that to my attention.
614-292-8513 if you would like to speak with Dr. Gee, or you could give us a or you could email us at WOSU or allsides at WOSU.org, and we have an email now. Dr. Gee, the 3C Railroad is in danger of not being approved. How about a plan B? Use the $400 million in federal revenue to replace the CABS bus system and campus deliveries with a state-of-the-art pollution-free campus-wide rail line or other pollution-free car system. A once-and-future student.
Hey, I love those kind of ideas. I'm just talking to a group of high school students about that are engaged in a year-long energy project. As you know, this university is making a major commitment to have the smallest carbon footprint possible. All of our renovations are now focusing on our carbon footprints. We are right out in front of our new union. We're going to be digging geothermal holes, what everyone calls that, wells, in order to do a lot of our heating, et cetera. So, in terms of the focus on sustainability, we've just hired a new fellow by the name of Ron Sega, who is one of the foremost authorities on energy and sustainability in this country, and will be a joint appointment between ourselves and Colorado State. I say all of that to say that as to this particular proposal, I don't know quite what that would mean, but certainly the university's commitment to trying to do everything possible to make ourselves carbon-free is something that we're working toward.
You signed the American College and University President's Climate Commitment.
Right.
A couple years ago.
Right, I did.
And there's been concern that, I guess this part of the idea is to make the campus sustainable or to make it carbon neutral by 2050. And there's
saying carbon free. I think that carbon neutral is the right is the right word. You know, it's early in the morning.
I didn't even notice that you were saying that.
Yeah.
But luckily, I have it written down.
Oh,
so
thank
I have
you
a
very
little
much.
Cheat sheet here. But some folks are wondering if that's possible.
Oh,
if that's not.
Well, I think that, you know, I was asked this question the other day by our lantern, which I thought was a very good question. And the answer is, yes, it's possible. It takes will. It takes ability to make some good decisions, et cetera. But remember, the things that we're doing now, the commitments we've made, will accelerate our carbon neutrality. And that was the point I was making the other day. I mean, if you take a look at our campus right now, it's not, you know, it's far from carbon neutral. I mean, we've made a lot of dumb mistakes in terms of the way that we've dealt with some of our energy issues, and a lot of campuses have. But we have a plan. We're executing the plan. It's a long haul. It's a marathon, and we'll just have to run that marathon.
Some of the ideas revolve around the transportation situation and getting the cars off campus.
Well, I mean, I am a great believer. We're trying to make the campus smaller. Mm-hmm. If you've seen our framework project, which is kind of a 3-year process, we want to make the campus smaller. We want to make it walkable. Want to move our transportation and cars, et cetera, to the external area so that we are much more carbon neutral, and we're also much more pedestrian friendly. So those are the long-term projects that we have going on right now.
We have to take a short break. When we return, we'll get your questions and comments. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU NPR News.
Good morning, I'm Eric French, filling in for Amy Jervich today. Sunshine with clouds, I expect it to reach 85, a near record for us today. It'll cool off to 57 degrees overnight with a slight chance of showers and some clouds. All Sides continues in just a few moments.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, the housing factor. We'll look at real estate now, the new foreclosure scandal, and what housing means for economic recovery. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
Join us for On Point, 1 p.m. today and every weekday here on WOSU, 820 NPR News.
Support for WOSU comes from the law firm Isaac Brandt Ledman & Teeter, offering legal services to Central Ohio since 1936. Isaac Brandt Ledman & Teeter, big enough to win, small enough to care. On the web at isaacbrandt.com.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest this hour is Dr. Gordon Gee. He is the president of Ohio State University. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. The latest is usually, as usual, it's money related. Everything boils down to economics, and the big news has been the pay increase for Ohio State University Athletic Director Gene Smith. There's been a lot of criticism of it. There always is when someone gets a big raise. It's not unusual, but it makes him one of the highest, if not the highest paid athletic director in the country.
Well, one of the highest, as a matter of fact, and he also has been ranked as the best athletic director in the country. You know, I think what you do is you pay people according to how well that they perform, and in this instance, we felt it was very important. Our athletic department is performing brilliantly, both on and off the field. It is a self-supporting athletic program. It's one of the few in the country. He is the best at what he does, and I can tell you this: so we did not buy him back. He was offered substantially larger amounts of money to go elsewhere. So he would have been the highest-paid athletic director at a much higher salary somewhere else.
What makes a great athletic director? In this instance,
Gene has a nice combination of things. You know, he's a wonderful athletic mentor and friend to our coaches, and he hires very good people. Our athletic program is performing brilliantly. Probably, if you just take a look at our coaches across our 36 teams, we just have fabulous people who are doing very, very good things. We happen to have the number one football team in the country, and I believe the number one coach.
That just
We have both our men and women's basketball teams where we ranked in the top five, two of the better, if not the best coaches in the country. We go on down the line and talk about that. Secondly of all, is to make certain that we're economically sound in today's world. Athletics can be a huge drain on university budgets if one allows that to happen because of all the kind of pressures you have. And the third thing is to make certain that that our students come, and this is the most important of those elements, that our students come and our students for all the time they're here, not simply athletes. And Gene does that as well as anyone I've ever seen.
614-292-8513 if you want to give us a call. It's hard for people, though, in the way things are economically, to understand what people make and that kind of thing.
And I get criticized about my own salary, a variety of other things. I point out this all the time it is difficult to understand, but it's one of the reasons that we need to have very talented people in this state is the fact that we need to get ourselves out of the economic doldrums. I make this point. And this is a point that I'll make. When I was here before, I wanted to hire someone who understood how to manage an endowment. And I was told, no, you can't do that. I said, and they said, well, how much do you have to pay someone? I said, $500,000 to get really a good one. Oh my God, you can't do that. Let the banks manage it. Well, we now have, this time when I came back, we hired one of the best endowment managers in the country. We happen to have the number one performing endowment in the nation right now. If he would have been here over the last 10 or 15 years, we'd lost $2 billion because of the fact that we underperformed. Now, that's $2 billion that could have gone into a number of things that would have made a real difference at this university. And so my point is this, is a very simple one, and that is when you have extraordinary people, you get extraordinary performance. And by the way, in my own instance, again, and the same with Gene Smith and others, is the fact that they have to perform. My pay is at risk. If I do not perform, I don't get paid. I'm not certain how many people who would call in and say, well, gee, yeah, if I don't perform, then don't pay me. I am one of those who does not get paid if I don't perform.
Okay, 614-292-8513. Stephanie, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. You know, when you do so many things well, Dr. D, then people begin to notice the little things. And one of them that I've noticed is signage, both inside and outside, particularly at the hospitals. Mm-hmm. You really need to have somebody go through that knows how to do that.
Oh, bless your heart.
Small thing. I know it's a small thing, but you know that when you do so many things well, what can you say?
Yeah, well, bless your heart. I tell you that, you're absolutely right. And we're working very hard on our signage. You know, one of the things with our new projects is the fact that we're really trying to make certain that we improve our signage. And just to make the point, I get lost on our own campus. I take a look and say, oh, you know, where are we? What are we supposed to be doing? And how am I supposed to get there? So, well, I agree with you. We've gone through, again, I called it earlier, we've gone through this framework project of where we're taking a look at the quality of our at the quality of our facilities, and part of that really is to make certain that we're a very friendly campus for people to find their way around. Now, you can now go on to your iPhone or a variety of other things, and it'll pinpoint almost exactly where you are. But not everyone does that, and so therefore we need to make the signage much better.
Well, that and inside some of the facilities.
Oh, inside and some of the facilities. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I get lost a lot too. So hey, listen, you and I are on the same page. We'll get that improved.
All right,
Stephanie, I got lost in a parking lot a couple months ago on the OSU campus. So I hear you too. Thanks a lot for your call.
I know there are people who do that and do it well.
And they do.
Yeah.
Thank you. Have a great day. Thank you very much, Stephanie. I appreciate it.
614-292-8513. Scott, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hey, Scott.
Sorry, there was a big buzz as you said my name, and I didn't hear it. I'm calling to say, where's our film department? I know we've got a film minor there, but we have the largest university on the planet. Oh, maybe not the planet. But we still don't have a true film department.
Well, you know, I was asked that question again the other day by a student. So, you know, let me tell you what we've done in terms of the arts. You know, we have the number one dance department in the country. We have probably the best creative arts facility in the country. In the Wexner Center, we have one of the really premier departments of schools of music. You can't be everything. And a decision was made some time ago that film was not going to be a major thrust of the institution. Now we're rethinking that, but you know, we are in the Midwest. There are some places like USC and UCLA where they're right in the middle of the film. That's what they ought to be doing. And on the other hand, we're great in dance and theater and a variety of other things. So we even if you're the biggest university on the planet, You can't be good at everything, and you don't need to do everything. In fact, I believe that that's one of our problems, is the fact that we've done too many things and not perhaps enough things well.
There was a film school or a film department.
There was
though.
A film department, but now we have a major. We have a minor again. I think that we're moving toward a major, but we're also looking at what we're going to do in terms of enhancing film, because it's become a great interest to our students. If it becomes a great interest to our students, if this is an area in which they have great interest, in which we can see it makes some sense for us to have a niche opportunity there. But you know, our issue as a university is, how do we distort ourselves? How do we build greatness and accelerate it on the things that we do better than anyone else, and not that we try to do everything?
Well, I know. I understand that. I know when the film department was dissolved, the enrollment was climbing. It was actually every year it was going up, and I just see it as sad to say we're in a celebrity-driven society. So, and who could make celebrities more than a wonderful film program that could churn out actors and films that, you know, catch people's eyes? Because, you know, you may have great researchers who can come up for a cure for foot fungus, but that's going to land on, like, page 80 of the newspaper. But
I'll do a show on it.
That's great. Boom. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't deny your point. I hope you understood my point. My point was the fact that if we had made a decision that the arts were unimportant, including film, then we're open for criticism. We made a decision that the arts are very important. We're going to support certain areas and make us about the best of what we do, and we certainly have done that. I mean, I'm very proud of the arts of this institution. We're one of the few, if only, institutions in Karen Bell that has an art czar, an associate provost in charge of our arts initiatives. And as you know, we've become the home to the Royal Shakespeare Company. It wasn't Columbia, it wasn't USC, it wasn't UCLA, it was Ohio State, and that's because of the kind of commitments we're making. As to film, we'll take a look at it. By the way, I'll just say this as an aside. I am a film buff. The one thing that I enjoy doing in the world is going to see a good film and eating popcorn while I'm watching it. So just from a personal point of view, I'd love to increase our engagement in film programs.
Okay. Well, I will keep calling every time I hear you on the air here and ask what's going on.
You do. It's not a hassle. It's a good kick in the shin. So I appreciate that.
All right, okay. Well, thank you.
Have a nice day.
Thanks, Scott. 614-292-8513 if you'd like to join the conversation with Dr. Gordon Gee, OSU president, or you can go to allsides at WOSU.org, and we'll catch your email there. State budget crisis. Mm-hmm. That's with a capital C this mm-hmm. time. I've been covering them for 20 years, and this is
pretty serious.
It's pretty serious, mm-hmm. particularly since they've been hitting at it for 10 years now, trying mm-hmm. to pare it down. And now we're talking at anywhere from $6 to $8 billion shortfall. And I've read that you think that OSU is going to be safe, but how?
No, I would never say anyone's going to be safe. What I mean is, I think that we've planned well.
Okay,
we're a well-positioned institution. I'll say three things. One is the fact that. What we need to do is have the people of the state understand that we are the indispensable future of the state, i.e., we are the economic engine. And I'm not talking about just simply we as Ohio State, but higher education is. Remember what I just said? Those with a college education have a less than 5% unemployment rate. For those who don't, I mean, we will keep the best and brightest here, which is our most important investment. Unless we have people who can create ideas, will not create jobs. And the third thing is the fact that in any kind of a budget crisis, you have to make choices. And I hope that the choice is to support the future of our state through its young people, and particularly through the notion of the combination of business ideas and ability to be able to create jobs, and which is clearly what this university does. Also, there's an unfortunate fact, which is the fact that our university's budget is $5 billion, only of which only 10% comes from the state. I joke about the fact that we're not a state-supported institution, we're a state-located university. But those dollars are important. We have every intent on making certain that we carry our message forward. At the same time, we're planning to make certain that we are an institution that is very well managed, and that we create an environment for change which allows us to take more responsibility for ourselves.
Do you work with other state university
Absolutely.
Presidents to talk about this? And is this something you've been working on even during the election cycle it is?
Yeah, I mean, you don't say, oh, gosh, we've got a budget crisis. We're mm-hmm. going to do it. No, I from the minute I came back, actually during my first tenure, but not nearly as much, so I tell everyone I'm a more mature person. I kind of understand the issues a little bit better. I think that in some ways that I get Ohio State a lot better this time around. But the one thing I do get, and that is the fact that that we need to have the ability to be able to make changes within the institution. We have to make changes ourselves. We don't need to replicate. You know, we have I don't know how many, we have 270 vendors of pens. We don't need to have that many pen vendors. We have, we have 35,000 different providers of different kinds of goods and services through our procurement process. We don't need to have 35,000. The point that I'm making is the fact that we need to make certain that we are doing very well in terms of managing ourselves. Then we make the case to the people of the state. At the same time, the state needs to let its people go, i.e., in the most strong biblical sense, we are overregulated as an institution. We are so overregulated that much of the cost of this university is due to the regulatory atmosphere in which we live.
Can you give me an example?
Oh, yeah. Take a look at our state, our construction process. Of the 50 states in the country, we rank dead last in terms of our ability to be able to construct buildings of quality in a timely fashion and with a lower cost. And we did get through a pilot project, and our project one, our big billion-dollar project, is proving exactly my point. That is the fact that we're engaging in substantial cost savings, and we're engaging in improved time frames, and we're getting the kind of quality of work we should have. And the state construction laws were passed at the time we were building canals in this state. Get with it. Let's move into the modern era. And those are the kinds of things I could go on down the line. So don't, you can tell that I have a strong view about it. Yeah. I mean, there are three levels of nonsense bureaucracy we deal with. One are those that are imposed by the state. Second, those are imposed by our own trustees. And the third are the ones that are imposed by ourselves. And I would say out of the three, though, that we probably are our own worst enemies. So we have to improve what we're doing. In terms of simplifying this institution, because our cause is us in many ways.
614-292-8513 or email us at allsides at WOSU.org. And Mike, you're on the air. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike.
Hello. Thank you very much. Well, I just had a real quick comment. I went to my second OSU game on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I took my girlfriend, and we had a decent time. But I guess my comment was on the smoking policy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a smoker, and I went to an Indiana game last year, and they have a separate smoking section outside the stadium where you can take a break and not bother others. But OSU doesn't have that. They basically make the choice for you that you're going to not smoke anywhere on the property. And, you know, I just think that's somebody else making my decisions for me, and I don't agree with it.
Yeah, you know, I can understand your point of view, but we are a smoke-free campus, and, you know, I think that is a choice that we are making as an institution, that we think that that's an important lifestyle issue for us and for our students and for those who come. And, I mean, I would not want to have you come because of the fact you can't find a place to smoke. But on the other hand, I think that you have made the choice to smoke. But when you come and join us and our community and our 106,000 fans, we've made